You've come to the beginning of another episode of the Kaleidoscope Podcast about everything Youth Initiative High School. Youth Initiative High School is a fiercely independent, multi-generational learning community offering an education that speaks to the whole human being. It was founded in 1996 and operates in Viroqua, Wisconsin, amongst the ridges and coulees of the Driftless region. I'm Matt, school administrator and neophyte podcast host.
And I'm Logan, math teacher and wannabe podcast producer.
In this episode, we explore both the philosophical underpinnings and the minutiae of the YIHS all-school camping trip. Our guests include a camping trip organizer, a parent chaperone, and two actual live student specimens. You're listening to the Youth Initiative High School Kaleidoscope Podcast. This is a podcast about all things Youth Initiative High School. And it's our first episode of all time. So this is something, but it's not actually our first Kaleidoscope. So those of you veteran Youth Initiative High School folks will probably remember our printed periodical under the same name, the Kaleidoscope. Lots of things derailed that, printing costs, global pandemics, the fact that nobody reads anymore. and so it kind of fell into, evolved out. I personally, who was the editor of that Kaleidoscope for many years, really, really enjoyed it. And so did, I think, most of our community. And so we're going to try to, it's going to be reborn in audio format starting today. And since this is a beginning and we are focused on beginnings, one way that we always begin our school year, and it is today at the time of this recording, our second day of academic classes, we always begin every school year, and we have since the dawn of the school itself, with an all-school camping trip. This used to go to Devil's Lake, and now it goes further afield, but this is a way that we've always started, and so that's what we'll be talking about today. I have four people with me that were on this very camping trip, and have them introduce themselves. You want to start over here, Amy?
Yeah, I'm Amy Arnold, teacher at Youth Initiative and also a parent.
I'm Andy Manspeaker, I'm a parent from Youth Initiative.
I'm Jiho. I am senior in Youth Initiative.
I'm Bryn Bartles. I'm a student at Youth Initiative in the 11th grade.
And I am a person who didn't go on the camping trip and hasn't for some years. I did used to go when it was a little bit closer, but now as it has moved far, far away, I stay closer to home and try to get things, you know, wrapped up before everyone comes back for the sort of classic first day of school.
And I'm on the sidelines a little bit here. Logan, I'm the producing this podcast, and I was on the camping trip.
You were, but you're not just a podcast producer.
Right, I'm also a teacher and administrative staff.
Yes.
At Youth Initiative.
Indeed.
Math teacher.
Yeah.
Proudly.
And I'm not sure I even introduced myself, but my name is Matt, and I am this 2025 will be my 20th year at Youth Initiative High School, and I've worn a lot of different hats. Never podcast host, but I will be this podcast host until they find someone more qualified, which, don't worry, shouldn't take long. but back to the camping trip, I want to start with you, Amy, because you are, again, a lot of us wear a lot of hats at Youth Initiative, and you said you were a teacher and you're a parent, but you also help plan and coordinate and sort of set the tone for the camping trip. Can you tell us just a little bit about, I guess what goes into that process, what some of the goals are? Like, why do we do that instead of like all going to Valley View Mall for the day or something?
Well, I think one of the goals of the camping trip is to get the students kind of grounded in the. Well, to be together. What happens in 5 days on a camping trip is sort of like 3 months in the school, like it puts us that further down, right, like socially and like how comfortable they are with each other. So, you know, the students kind of show up sort of there was 29 new students at our school this year. Everybody's kind of stepping into a new year, a new role. Mm-hmm. And so through the process of the journey of the camping trip and all of that time together, we become
closer to one.
We become closer to one.
Not quite there. But
no.
Being one would be a little weird.
Yeah, we become a more unified, ready for the school year group. And we're always working with themes that are brainstormed by the core faculty before we leave on the trip. And so things that we've been working on during the summer, things that are like rising up in the student body, stuff that we want mm-hmm. to be working on.
Yeah.
So then we bring that to everything that we're doing and talking about. And
one of them, well, when I got to school on my first day of school, there was a chalkboard drawing of a cup, and it said, "Fill the cup."
Yeah.
I imagine that came from the camping trip. Was that like a theme, a motto?
That was one of our mottos. Yeah.
Okay. What do we what is the cup, and what are we filling it with?
Well, the cup is ourself.
Okay.
And
all
we
right.
are. We were talking about how to care for ourselves, to fortify ourselves so that we can show up.
Okay. So we're filling the cup with like healthy food. What are we filling the cup with, Bryn? What did you fill your cup with besides water on the camping trip?
Personally, I guess my cup was filled by the community I was with, my peers, all the teachers and staff and everybody that came with, and everybody's positive attitudes really, really filled my cup and made the experience that much better. And it was great in the first place, and it would have been, but yeah, that just really helped fill my cup, I guess.
And this was your first camping trip ever, Bryn?
It was.
Okay, so you're in 10th grade.
11th.
Right.
Was in 10th grade.
Yeah, it's been really difficult. The first couple weeks are always pretty difficult for me to remember what grade everyone's in. You were in 10th grade,
mm-hmm.
and now it's a new year, and so I need to get on that page. When I take attendance in the morning, it's really difficult for the first couple weeks because I'm like looking for you in the 10th grade area, and you're not there. There's some other weird kid who used to not be there either. So you're in 11th grade, but it was your first camping trip because you joined midway through the year last year, sometime I think in February. So you'd never experienced this before, and there's a lot of things at Youth Initiative. I mean, I can remember certainly things that I experienced for the first time, you know, like morning circle, the morning verse, for instance, where I was like, what are these people doing? Right? Like, this is, I just got dropped into some kind of weird Amway conference. So what was that like? I mean, I guess you had some familiarity to the school. Was there anything that, did you feel that at any time during the camping trip? Like, what are we doing right now?
No, actually, I felt totally at peace, and I felt like I was at home, and it was actually really relieving to be back and around all those people and all the teachers and everybody, and getting to bond with my class and I guess the whole school. And it wasn't surprising at all, actually. It felt, yeah, very relieving. And I felt almost immediately so at home last year when I joined, when I had, mm-hmm. like, no experience coming from being shy little homeschool girl. So, yeah, I guess when I came here, I felt immediately welcomed, and I feel like I settled in really well, and I just felt like I could pick up where I left off last year, and it was easy to just move on in.
Okay. What about you, Jiho? This was not your first camping trip.
Yeah.
But no. Could you take us back to your first camping trip at all?
Yeah.
Like what that was like?
I mean, like, everything was new, right? And, like, you know, I thought it was just normal camping trip. And, like, in the night, people just, like, gather up and talk about many things. And, like, I mean, at that time, you know, I was not good at English at all, so I just kind of like wondering what was happening.
Yeah, that adds a new twist to the what's going on.
Yeah.
What's going on, and I don't know what most of these people are saying. Mm-hmm. And but this is your last, this most recent camping trip is your last because you're a 12th grader. What do you feel like you've learned from this will be your third camping trip, yeah, this last one that you just had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what do you think you've taken away from it, or what I guess first of all, do you think you'll go camping when you leave here?
Hmm?
Do you think you'll ever go camping again?
I mean like I personally like, you know, go to camping a lot.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, but it's like not in a tent, it's like a RV.
Oh, you got an RV over in Korea?
Yeah.
Your family's got an RV.
Yes.
I love that image.
But like, yeah. But like, you know, camping is a great thing to just, you know, settle your mind and like a camping in Youth Initiative is like a further beyond, you know. It's like a place and like a time to, you know, make some conversation with other people and like, you know, try to like understand everyone and like, you know, mm-hmm. It's like a time to like fit all the students in a, you know, in a good way, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it.
Well said.
Andy Manspeaker, you are kind of the perfect camping trip chaperone. You're a rock climber. You're an emergency room doctor, which I know has helped out in previous camping trips. I believe you did some minor toe surgery 2 years ago. Don't worry, that was on a staff member, so it was totally fine. And you're just a chill guy. Like, just being in this room right now makes... You're like... Your personality's... Yeah. And he's got a big van. That's true.
Yeah, I think that's why you bring me is for the van.
That is not why. No.
Oh, yeah.
It's not why.
Medical kit.
No, it is. It's the calming presence.
Yeah.
It really is. This was your second?
Third
camping trip.
Yeah, and you've had the last 4 years.
You've had two students at Youth Correct. Initiative, and your youngest daughter is a
senior.
A senior. What has been your experience going on camping trips as a parent? I mean, what have you noticed, or what have you taken away that's been, I don't know, yeah, memorable, I guess.
Yeah. I love the camping trip. It's one of my favorite parts of the year. Last year was the one year I didn't go. Work got in the way. And I missed it. Like, every year I kind of know the students. I don't go to school. I don't know them really well. But every year when I go on this camping trip, there's so much time spent on getting to know each other at the camping trip that last year when I didn't go, I didn't know who was at the school, even though I'd been on two camping trips before.
Right.
Like, I just felt like I had no idea of who was at the school and what people were like, and I didn't feel nearly as connected to the kids or the school last year as I did this, you know, the years prior and again this year. I think it's a great opportunity, like, to get to know the kids, but also, you know, there's a lot of time spent on team building, but also school building. Like, we were talking about filling the cup, but years previously we talked about like post-COVID resilience and like how do we stay, you know, how do we come through that experience and be resilient and keep moving on and rebuild the school together now that we're all back together again. So I think the themes are really powerful each year. They're slightly different. I mean, in 3 years I've been there, you know, they recycle a little bit because the goal is the same or similar each year, but mm-hmm. I think it's kind of the content is pretty powerful. It's not just getting to know the kids.
Let's paint a picture. Where is this thing, by the way? I didn't go, so I don't even know how to get there. How do you get there? Where is it?
We load into houses that the school is split into. House groups, 5 house groups of about 15 to 20 students each. We get in. Each group gets in 2 cars, and we caravan up to, we went up north to Tetegoosh.
Tetegoosh.
Tetegoosh. It's a sh, not a ch.
Okay. Because I've definitely not been pronouncing it way
I was
in my
saying
head.
The ch. It's, I learned in the bathroom it's that it was Tetegoosh. There was a, at the park, there was a
Tetegoosh.
A poster. Anyway, we went up there, and then we go to our camps, go to our campsite, and we sort of build our house for the week, put up all our tents and put up our kitchen, establish our boundaries, and then...
Both physical and emotional, I'm sure.
Yes.
Maybe the emotional ones take a little more time.
It takes a little time to sink in, and then we do warm-ups and get-to-know-you kind of things.
And Tetigouche is on Lake Superior?
It's on Lake Superior.
In Minnesota, North Shore?
Yes, correct.
Oh, okay. And you're, I mean, I saw some pictures. I mostly now experience it through pictures and recollections, sort of like someone, you know, like someone who's been sort of exiled. Self-exiled, just self-exiled. I could go. I think. I don't know. I haven't tried.
Never gone?
No, well, I did go. I did go when it was at Devil's Lake.
Okay.
Because then I could go for... That was the thing. You know, we used to do it at Devil's Lake, and which is about an hour and a half away. And that was great. You know, I think some of the same things happened there. Like, but it's close enough to Viroqua, you know, and of course I was probably partly responsible for this because, you know, you could go for 2 days and then go back home. Or you could, like, you know, a student would be like, well, I have soccer practice. Can I jump over there? I have a soccer game, or I have work, or, you know, and then right. So it was like...
This is not like that at
no,
all.
No,
this is
like,
very like a container of
right.
intention.
Yes.
And it's no comers and goers.
It's kind of like Survivor, except no one gets kicked off the island.
Right. Well, hopefully, yeah.
Actually, I don't know. I've never actually watched Survivor, but I know that it was a real big thing in the early 2000s. So I don't know what it
is. Exile is a good...
Yeah, word. I mean, it's self-exile, group self-exile that you're... And that's, I think, part of the power, right? Because students, you guys don't have... You don't have your phones. You're completely, like, how do you even know what's going on? What's that like?
I mean, it's like a totally new experience, I think. Like, you know, like just like watching your phone kind of like makes you just like, makes you like dip into it. So like it makes you like not able to like think anything, right? Mm-hmm. But like in a camping trip, you know, I kind of thought a lot of things and, you know, some like aliens or like, you know, some like random things, right?
Yeah.
I said like...
It's called daydreaming, you know. Kids don't do it anymore, but, you know, we used to do it a lot. Like, we get really bored. Mm-hmm. We get really bored.
Yeah.
Did you guys get bored on the camping trip?
No, not
at all. I wish. Yeah. I wish you had.
No time.
We'll have to.
Yeah, maybe we keep them a little too entertained.
Yeah, maybe we need another.
Maybe we just need to drop them off on an island.
Yeah, we need boredom week. That's what we need. Where you're just forced to like sit around, like, you know, I just remember in the summer you sit around, you do nothing. Like, I'm so bored.
I'm so bored.
We didn't have a phone to look at. We just had to look at our hand. It's tough. Anyway, when you come back, does that change your relationship with anything, like other people or, you know, technology or routine? Is that, how sort of jarring does it feel to go in and come out?
Well, for me personally, I'm going to jump back to the question you asked, Jiho, but being without my phone for the week was one of the best experiences with my like with the being out my phone that I've had. And it's one thing to be without my phone, like that's fine. And then it's another to not know the time. I'm somebody, I need to know
right.
the time
yeah.
constantly. Like I'm always looking at the clock, I'm always just checking my phone to know what time it is. And I mean, the whole trip, I didn't have my phone, I didn't have anything that could tell me the time. And honestly, I forgot about it. And it felt so good to just be without that constant worry for once. And then I came home, and I don't think I picked up my phone maybe for 15 minutes the rest of that weekend, but I mean, I didn't even feel like I needed it anymore. It was so liberating. And then, like, anymore, I don't even bring my phone to school. I mean, I used to bring it to school for, like, before mm-hmm. school hours or after, but I just leave it in my room now because I don't even feel like I need it. And, yeah.
Do you get bored yet? You try that yet? That's really going to blow
your
mind.
Well, there's this handy thing called books. And like you said, people don't read anymore.
Well, they do.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. I read a lot. I love to read. What about the food, though? Because that's one thing that I don't like. I mean, I'm going to level with you. A lot of times, my family goes camping without me.
Well, we eat really good food.
But, yeah?
Yeah. The students all in their houses choose a meal. I mean, the choosing of the meal and the divvying up of who's going to get what, like, happens so quickly. It's frankly kind of overwhelming. But somehow they choose a meal and everybody figures out what they're going to bring, and all of the materials are brought and put into boxes, and then they're assigned a certain slot, and during that time all those boxes come out, they open them up. What are some of the meals we had, you guys?
Oh my gosh, we had pesto pasta one day. I think we had tacos another day. One day we had just hot dogs at a different place than where we were staying, and I have to admit that was coming from like somebody who's really picky with food and doesn't like handle like my food being changed very well.
Yeah.
That was the best meal I had there.
Oh.
And I wolfed down 8 hot dogs.
Wow. That's a lot of hot dogs.
That's where they all went.
there was an abundance of grilled corn that day too.
There was. Yeah. Ooh, I brought
grilled
that corn.
That's wow.
But the piece de resistance on this whole thing, the whole culinary adventure of this camping trip was what the students put together on Thursday night. That was the Iron Chef.
A camping site version of Iron Chef.
Yeah.
That's a reality television show waiting to be made.
It was over the top. It was so beautiful to see them
phenomenal
working together. Like people who aren't familiar with Iron Chef, the students were given like a box of ingredients with some like challenges kind of in there. And then they all worked together to decide what they were going to do.
Yeah, no recipe card, just ingredients.
Yeah. It was the best Iron Chef I've ever participated in. You guys, somebody describe. Well,
what'd you make, Bryn? I mean, what'd your house make?
It wasn't by house.
It wasn't by house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. I said that, didn't I? It wasn't by house. It was randomly assigned, yeah, which gave them another small group experience to connect with people. And
how many groups were there, though?
Four.
Five. Three entrees, so to speak, one appetizer, one dessert. What did you have, Bryn?
Well, my group made this squash soup. It started off, we were kind of hopeful, but we opened the box, and first thing we pulled out was 2 things of vegetable broth, and I was like, okay, there's like a lot we can do with this. And then we just pulled out can after can after can of coconut milk, and I'm like, okay, maybe something curry. And then it's just, you know, kept digging around in there, and it was just squash after squash after squash after squash.
I wonder what we're going to do with this. Yeah.
And canned corn and like peppers and onions. And then we were allowed to trade ingredients, so we got a bag of potatoes, and I think we had meat in there too. Mm-hmm. So we just made like this weird coconut milk squash soup thing. And then made meat and potatoes on the side.
It was really, really good.
Is this now a good time to put a shout out to Dave?
Dave Quig.
For coordinating that day. He put those boxes of food together.
Oh, he did.
I assume so. And he did a whole lot more
to make
the week happen.
Dave Quig is our expedition coordinator, and he has been leading the camping trip for, 10 years now, maybe? Something like that.
I think you know better than us, but...
Well, it gets foggy.
Yeah.
You go back maybe more than 5 years. I don't really... It all kind of blends together. But it was under his guidance that we moved the trip. I think he did his first one was at Devil's Lake, and then he quickly observed that we should go further afield.
Go further.
It was just not... Yeah, go further.
I mean, the drive was significant. But it kind of, you had 3 solid days there.
Right. Well, the drive, I think, is
part
of rite of passage.
Yeah.
It's
the journey.
Yeah. It's the journey into
the
underworld.
Struggle.
Right.
And then you're there.
Mm-hmm.
How was your drive, you two?
Yeah, Jiho, you start.
I think it was pretty great. I was seeing the same line, I was in line with Cassidy, Griffin, and me. We're gonna have a bunch of, you know, conversations about, you know, like teenager things, right?
Oh, wow. That sounds dangerous.
You know, sometimes girls.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. I think most of the time it was.
And then you're in that and then you're in that car with those people for 6 hours? Were you in did you have air conditioning in your car?
On the way to go to the camping site, it was not. So we kind of had to like open the whole window. It was like so windy and my hair is like, you know, getting messy.
Oh, that must have been tough.
But like on our way to Biroqua, it was, we had AC, you know, great thing ever. You know, I know it's bad for environment, but.
No, I know you're a sensitive guy. I know that.
But it's too good, too good.
But to put it in perspective, it was 90 degrees and humid that day. So the kids in the vans without AC were...
Yeah, that was a brutal day, for sure. That was a brutal day. That Monday that you guys left was... Yeah, I mean, I turned the central air on in the house maybe 4 or 5 days out of the week. That was... Or I mean, out of the year.
Yeah.
And that was definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that was a tough day. It was. I think the heat index here was 108. Of course, you were going north. You're going north, though. So, I mean...
Maybe
so.
We should talk about Monday. I feel like that was a fun, significant day that we could describe to Matt in a little more detail.
What happened on Monday?
Well, just, I mean, the drive. You're getting a picture of the drive. Yeah, if you had AC, it was pretty pleasant. Yeah.
There's, like, the air-conditioned kids and the non-air-conditioned kids. And the non-air-conditioned ones were, like sweat, like, all the way down to their bellies and, like... red faces and like sticking their hair all kind of wild.
Right.
And then the air conditioned ones, we were all like cool skin, laughing, you know.
This is what what that was a plan lesson on structural inequity that we slipped in there. And we're sorry to you, those of you who didn't get it.
But the adults too.
Yeah.
Andy, you were driving your own van, and that's definitely got AC.
Yeah, I have AC. People were wearing sweatshirts in my van.
Yes. Yes. Do you have AC, Bryn? You're an AC kid?
Do I have AC in
my
car?
No, did you on the way up, on the way on that Monday?
No.
On the Monday.
AC. Yeah. No, Bryn, you're the only one. Tell us how it was. Describe it.
It was the most humbling experience I think I've ever had. Wow. Because I was stuck. Okay, so me and Emrys. He's 6'8".
Yeah, he's tall.
And I'm 5'10". So we're some
big
kids.
You're also tall. Yeah, you're tall.
We're some big kids. And the seats all in the front of, I think, in the green van we were in.
Okay.
And all those seats up front are a little bit
not
smaller.
Not a lot of leg room. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to sit, me, Emrys, and Gong Min. Me and Emrys were just like plastered together.
Oof.
It was awesome. We were plastered together, and there's like no windows. There's windows in the front, but there's like none in the back, so we're not.
It's got those ones that they crack open.
Oh yeah,
in
the way back, yeah. Oh my gosh, I was just dripping sweat. I mean, people couldn't look at me without just looking at an inch of sweat on my face.
Rite of passage, absolutely. Yeah.
Hard times bring us together.
They do.
They really do.
Hard times
easily
bring us
spoken
together.
From the
from the air conditioner,
from the comfort of your air conditioned automotive palace.
Yeah. So when I arrived, I was like, I know there are these people. There's this other camp, and I tried to, you know, I tried to bring the energy for them. But
you were
I gotta
not
say,
AC or you were AC.
No, I was AC.
You were
I was,
AC.
I was in the Parker's little Kia Sorento.
Uh huh.
Just styling, roomy.
Roomy.
Only two in the back.
Room. Nobody
four
in there.
Of us in a small SUV.
Aftermarket stereo bumping.
Oh, yeah. I was Bluetoothing all the way.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, we get there, and we got to set up tents. And there are those that are more exhausted than others.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'd love to hear maybe from others, but to me, it seemed that the morale was struggling a bit in that moment. You know, our campsite... And the scenario, we had driven for 6 hours.
This was a brand new campsite, too. We'd never been as a school to this campsite.
We had
before.
To go for water.
Oh. Yeah, the campsite was a little more rustic and small than others. We've always been at ones that don't have water, like, right in the campsite. But this one was a little bit of a drive to get water. It was a group site, but they were pretty small group sites. So, I mean, tents were almost on top of
it. Yeah, I mean, I saw the picture. It looked like a Hooverville. Yeah.
It was
There were tents.
And horrible at the same time.
Is there
not
room to get in the door of these tents?
We were strategic in the placement and rotation of the tents. I had a few kids. I'm like, okay, you're not going to be able to get in your door. You got to rotate 90 degrees. They're like, what's 90 degrees? I'm like, you'll learn.
See,
in math.
Geometry, sociology, yeah. We've already kind of started laying the groundwork.
Yeah.
Okay. And the casualties, one tent, right? We tripped over one tent.
Oh, yeah, that was like halfway through.
I mean, anyone who's been camping has tripped over a tent cord.
Sure. The fly line, the rain fly.
Always,
you know,
always.
It gets you.
Can't see it.
And in this scenario, it was...
A minefield of fly lines.
You kind of had to have a pattern that you walked. Like, I had an established route through the tents. I'm like, okay, I take a left here, and then I have one foot there in between these tents.
Do we have any injuries, Andy?
No injuries on this trip. No.
None.
A miracle.
No, I didn't get out the bag at all.
Yeah, they're healthy.
Oh, yes, no, we did.
Okay.
We did. Somebody cut their belly on the rocks swimming.
There was a couple sicknesses too.
Oh right. Everybody,
just a few.
Some people got sick.
Yeah. Some people got COVID. That's true. I don't know if we can say that out loud, but a bunch of people got COVID.
We got sick. That's what we said.
Oh yeah, people got sick. We didn't have any gastrointestinal issues though, which was
good because we had two toilets for 86 of us.
Like porta potties.
They were pit toilets.
There were three pit toilets. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is good that you didn't have any foodborne illness.
Just to wrap up, though, that Monday was like this tough initiation. I felt like it got us, like, it was a struggle, and it all shifted. Didn't we have a nice little fire on Monday night, if I'm remembering correctly?
I think it shifted with the storm. Like, we went to bed and people were hot, and they were like, I can't sleep in this heat.
And it was
still hot and humid when you went to bed. But then the thunderstorms came in.
Mm. It was this beautiful.
Was it a thunderstorm.
A nice storm.
Also, it rained hard
night.
On Monday.
In the night.
In the night. Monday night.
And that cooled it down, and all of a sudden you could sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we woke up just new people on Tuesday. And for the rest of the week, it felt
your spirits were
amazing.
Washed clean.
Totally.
And Tuesday we went on... Was Tuesday the day that we went on trips with our small groups?
Yeah, with our house.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy and I were together with my house and mm-hmm. went to Pebble Beach.
The golf course?
Right.
No, this is Pebble Beach
on the North Shore of Minnesota, part of Split Rock Lighthouse.
Oh, Split Rock State Park. I have some childhood
beautiful.
Memories from that place. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Places.
There's
beautiful.
An island.
Beautiful state park.
Yeah.
Chem and I swam to this island. We had a beautiful time there. Talked about filling our cups.
Made a skit.
And that was kind of the rest of the week in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. I mean, just getting together, having that beautiful in-out breath, activities, fun mixed with reverence, yada, yada, yada.
And then when I know for a lot of people, the highlight of these camping trips or one of the most anticipated parts is the senior night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and yeah.
What night is that of the week?
Well, that's the last night. But leading up to the senior night, we had storytelling sharing around the fire every night, starting with some storytelling the first night about just like history of the school or mm-hmm. teachers, why we're there, which I thought was really nice too. And then there's a freshman all sort of say why I came to Youth Initiative. It's like a really nice way for them to be brave and speak their voice into the circle for the first time. Yeah. Yeah, it's really touching.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last night, the seniors all, after hearing seniors speak for 3 years, it's their turn to say why they're there. And yeah, it's like you could hear a pin drop when that's happening. People are just totally there for it. I mean, for all of it, for the all fires, people just really want to hear what each other have to say.
So at every night ends with some sort of fire
together,
fireside mm-hmm. togetherness.
Other than Tuesday, where we did have a wonderful moment, no fire, but we were on the beach
Okay.
At looking out and hanging out at Lake Superior, because we were at that, we were at a different campsite.
How close were you to the lake?
On it.
Just in on it.
In it.
No, but I mean, in the, was the campsite like,
no, the campsite wasn't. So this, I thought you were asking about Tuesday night.
Yeah, but.
But the campsite was a little ways away.
What are we talking, quarter mile, 100 yards?
Probably quarter mile.
Quarter mile.
I don't think, did anyone walk to the lake from the campsite? I didn't try it.
Sean would ride that bike down there every morning to jump in. In past years, we've had campsites right on Lake Superior where you can just like 6 a.m. people go swimming and watch the sunrise and get out. We didn't have that site this year, so we tried a new one up. But it, we still had plenty. We were in the water every day, either in the rivers or in the lake. So water's a big part of the camping trip.
And it's cold. I love cold water.
It is cold.
The Baptism River runs right through Tetagoosh.
Tetagoosh.
Actually, this time we had waves on Lake Superior, quite a bit of waves. So that really changed it. We had a lot of, like, everybody was out almost surfing in the waves.
Yeah.
Lots of people got in. It was fun.
You ever go surfing, Andy?
Yeah, I've been surfing.
I bet you have.
Chilling.
This guy's an adventurer. I mean, you don't even know the adventures this guy's been on. Brian, what did you think about Jiho's speech? 12th grade speech.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed it along with everybody else's.
Because I was told it was kind of a highlight.
Yeah, for sure.
Jesus was pretty good. I mean, they're all good. They're all, I think, pretty vulnerable.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, it was great. It was actually so good that I think I went up to you afterwards and I was like, that was really great.
What do you, Jiho, how much can you share with us? You know, I don't expect that you've memorized that speech. But what was kind of the gist of it? Like, what were you up there to say?
You know, I think I just told them that, like, you know, as a foreign exchange student, I kind of felt weird living in America, and I kind of, I would say, kind of annoyed, like, people caring too much about me. But, like, the last time, like, I realized it was, like, people's action, just, like, you know, They literally care me too much, and they watch me every day. And, you know, I felt like so appreciated about it, and like I kind of at that time I kind of wanted to, like, you know, express these emotions to, you know, all the lower classmen and, like, you know, juniors, and I mean, like, all the classmates, right? I hope it didn't sound like I'm, like, advertising, you know, using this tip, but, like, I really, it was, like, from my heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you started working on your speech, Bryn? I mean, are you?
I've started thinking about things I want to say.
Yeah, I bet you have. But yeah. And for you, Jiho, this year, it's the next speech is the last one, graduation.
Oh.
Yeah. Coming over here, I told Jiho, you know, he was a little nervous.
What about senior project?
Oh, that's not a speech.
Okay.
I mean,
it's a presentation.
It's a presentation. Right. I mean, nerve wracking indeed. But I think what else? What are your closing thoughts on the camping trip? What's one thing that you might change? If you were Dave Puig, the boss of camping, what would you say? What would you say we got to change? We got to do it differently.
I don't know. I'll say, like, you know, just, you know, ordinary things. Like, you know, you have to, like, enjoy this time. And, like, I don't know. You need to be in, like, a, you know, different environment, right? It just sound like too normal. But, like, I think it's, like, really important just, people have to, like, you know, sometimes have to go outside of their comfort zone and, like, have to, like, experience all different things. If you don't, you will, like, not grow, like, further.
So no AC in the cars is what you... That would be your suggestion.
We should have all...
Yeah. No cars with AC.
You should have just turned it off.
You're right.
That took you out of your comfort zone, for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Who else?
Andy, what would you change? You have discerning tastes.
I do.
You do.
One thing that I've thought about lots, not just on this camping trip, but with the expeditions, is that there's occasionally a little of inequality of people's equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually thought about trying to write some letters to companies and see if we can get some donations. I think it's more with the expeditions where it's a bigger thing, but I see it sometimes. You know, like you mentioned, tents get broken every year and people get wet and some people don't get wet. Is it because they didn't set up their tent well, or is maybe their tent a little more waterproof? So
right.
It would be nice to have like some way for some of that to be a little more equitable for between families that have camping gear and people who are, you know, borrowing it, scrounging
for
it
sure.
somewhere.
And that's actually one of the, I think that's one of the themes that of the year is mm-hmm. is showing reverence toward our possessions. And that's been a goal of the expedition committee for a long time, to grow our gear, which, you know, we don't have a lot of money.
Right.
And we rely on a lot of donations and yeah, we try to make everything work. And you're right. I mean, some of the gear that goes out there is leaves a little something to be desired.
And it would have made a big difference if people had two-person tents for themselves instead of everyone, all these people with four-person tents.
Right. So if you know, what a family tent your family has is a six-person tent,
right.
and each person stays in their own tent, so they bring a six-person tent, which normally in a big site isn't a big deal, but in a tight site, it suddenly became like, wow, you're really taking up a lot of real estate here, Mr.
more lessons on
so,
inequity.
Yeah, so we could buy, the school will buy a two-person tent for every single family.
Not a chicken just, in every pot. That is what we're going for.
Not
a
really.
Chicken in every pot. Or if you're vegetarian, some beans.
A tofurkey.
Come on, that's a 90s joke. Nobody even... Do they even make tofurkeys anymore?
I think so.
Really? I think the market's evaporated for tofurkey.
Tofurkey.
Yeah, so to wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. Haven't really thought
Amy,
about that
Amy, what do you want to share your thoughts?
That was one part that I definitely didn't think about.
The wrap
gonna,
up.
How are we going to wrap this up?
Tofurkey.
Go buy a tofurkey before it goes out of business.
Yeah.
No, don't. It's hyper processed. You shouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
What? Okay. How about this, Andy? This is your last. Well, I don't want to speculate because actually I would love to have you keep coming on the camping trip. But your daughter is going to graduate this year, and you have no more children that I know of. What's your legacy to parents that are maybe thinking about going on the camping trip, or tips? What's your words of wisdom after three camping trips, some minor surgeries?
Right. Well, I don't want to encourage them too much because I kind of do want to go back.
You can.
But I would say that it is a great opportunity for any parent to go. I kind of said in the beginning, like, you actually get to know the kids and you get a better feel for like how everything's meshing and how the school year is going to go. So yeah, that'd be my suggestions.
What's one thing they shouldn't forget to pack?
Sleeping bag. I always bring an extra sleeping bag in the car because it seems like we've gotten there before and somebody doesn't have a sleeping bag. This time everybody brought one, but they got wet, so I did give away my extra sleeping bag.
That's why we call on this guy.
Prepared.
I wouldn't bring an extra sleeping bag. Jihil, what's your words of wisdom to people to go on the camping trip? What do they need to know?
You should have a steak for your, you know, rain flies.
Okay, don't forget the steaks. Check
okay.
twice, maybe
also,
three times.
Also, make sure bring extra toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
Good tip.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to run out of toilet paper.
Yep.
Your own personal stash.
Also, bring the biggest water bottle that you could find.
Big yep. water. Okay, big water bottle, mm-hmm. plenty of TP, tent stakes.
Yep.
Bryn?
A personal one that panned out actually really well for myself that I brought this year was I brought water-safe like soap, like shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and stuff. And, on the free day, I think it was Thursday we had the free day, with we could like pick where we wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all separated off and went. And me and several other people all took turns, like.
Had a little spa day.
A little, yeah. A little spa day. Got in. I think we went to a place with a waterfall, and it was like a pond kind of down below, and we all got in the pond. Water was freezing, but it was worth it. It felt so good, and yeah, we all just washed up.
Because
after a week with teenagers, gets pretty ripe.
I bet it does. But yeah, all that swimming, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, it wears off.
You reach some kind of stasis, some kind of equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of microbiome equilibrium. And Amy, what would you... I think you're the most experienced camping trip participant at this table.
Yeah. So well, I think
you're going to have the... What's your suggestion?
Well, one of my reflections about like what I would want to say or bring next year is just to say out loud. I mean, there's a lot of like really nice feelings and people coming together and people feeling awesome. But what I wish I had said is sort of all feelings are welcome here, because I feel like for some people it wasn't easy and it wasn't
right
awesome. And then for some people it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is welcome and real, and that for everybody coming out of it, we're not all gonna feel awesome and feel great. And so just to say that so that people don't feel like what's wrong with me.
Right. If it doesn't come full circle for you.
If it doesn't come full circle for you, it's still super valuable,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is.
That just reminded me of a little story that I think fits here, in that there was a student who I saw their freshman year, and they were super scared, and might have been some tears and those sort of things. And this year, when we had the first rainstorm, and they got wet, and the next morning, they're like, yeah, I got wet, no big deal. It was just such a huge change from, like, freshman year to later on year.
Yeah, I mean, that the camping trip is a great microcosm. I mean, 4 years of high school is probably the most power-packed years of your life,
totally.
You know?
It's so intense, too, to be together, like that together, for 5 days together with, you know, teenagers together with, I mean, that's like a lot of togetherness for, of one age group.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, there's not, while we had a really solid, awesome group of adults there, there's not like all those other ages. And we also had a 5-year-old Alma with us too, which was such a treat. But all of the ages and everybody together is sort of what balances a group out and makes them feel like, you know, rock solid whole community. And so to just be like, here we are, this microcosm of, you know, 75 teenagers and 12 adults, it's pretty like, it can be really intense.
Yeah, totally.
A little Lord of the Flies at times.
A little Lord of the Flies-ish.
Yeah, but also so awesome. I wouldn't miss it. I like Andy. I started going when my son was a freshman, and it's like, I'm not missing that again. I mean, that's so, it's such a important, amazing time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it was my first time, but it's my second year teaching, and it just feels like a totally different start of the school year
compared
to last year, when I just kind of jumped in with classes. Didn't know any of the freshmen, and you know, felt like I barely knew people. Now I'm like, oh, hey, you, hey. And I guess that's the greatness of it for the students too, I hope.
Yeah, that's
you'd basically learn each other's names and each other's faces.
Pretty effectively.
And a little bit about, maybe.
All right.
Each one.
I think we're out of time. Hope you enjoyed. We'll be back next month with some legends.
Oh, yeah. Company of them.
Yeah, whole company of them.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.